Notice how if we allow anger to take control, who's in control but the devil? Neither give place to the devil. Amen? So we're going to look at this together today. First, let's commit it to the Lord. Lord, we love you so much. Thank you for the privilege of meeting here and looking into your powerful word together. We pray we would learn today. And Lord, we would not only learn, but we would apply these truths to our own walk and not allow anger to lead us into sin. So, Lord, I pray we'd be blessed by learning this today. And, Lord, we would grow through it. May you be glorified. We ask you in Jesus' name. Amen. So let's look at another one, Ecclesiastes chapter 7, verse 9. Howard, if you could read that for us.
Be not hasty in the spirit to be angry, for anger resteth in the bosom of fools.
So be not hasty in thy spirit to be angry. We saw Ephesians 4, be angry and sin not. Neither give place to the devil, it said in verse 27. So anger is something that's going to happen to all of us. It already has. What do we do with it? Non-biblical choice number one, lose our temper. A lot of people have a problem with their temper, some more than others, but it's just another example of an area where we need to have temperance or self-control, isn't it? We need to be able to control. You know, often when we think about self-control, we think about our temper. We think about maybe excess in things. Maybe people are addicted to eating or other things or drugs or whatever. But your temper is part of it. And losing your temper is not scriptural. So we'll look at some scriptures on this. Proverbs 14, 17. Brother Brent, if you could read that for us.
He that is soon angry dealeth foolishly, and the man of wicked devices is hated.
Amen. And then just a few verses down, verse 29, if you could read that too.
He that is slow to wrath is of great understanding, but he that is hasty of spirit exalteth folly.
Hasty of spirit. So this is all, as we'll see, it's all about ruling our spirit, being in control of our spirit. That's self-control or temperance, isn't it? And then this last one, Proverbs 15, 18. A wrathful man stirreth up strife, but he that is slow to anger appeaseth strife. Slow to anger. So losing our temper, and there's more here, is definitely not the way to go. Because if we do, now we have sinned, right? Be angry and sin not. So now that we've lost our temper, we've sinned, so now we have to make things right with whoever we've lost our temper to, right? Now we've wronged that person, so now we're going to have to make it right. And if we don't, then God's going to have to make it right by chastising us. So we're headed down this non-biblical path that just explodes out of control. Proverbs 25:28, Mr. Zeus, could you read that for us?
He that hath no rule over his own spirit is like a city that is broken down and without walls.
Now, in Old Testament days, if a city didn't have walls, it wasn't protected, right? Walls were very important when you didn't have guns or cannons, when all you had was pretty much swords and bows and arrows. Walls would keep the enemy out of your city. And God says that if you're not in control of your own spirit, if you're not ruling your spirit, you're like a city that has no walls, and that your heart's not protected. It's out of control. And then here in Numbers chapter 20, we have an example from Israel. Kelvin, if you could read that for us, Numbers 20 verses 10 and 11. This is when Moses, remember? He lost his temper one time. Sorry, go ahead.
And Moses and Aaron gathered the congregation together before the rock. And he said unto them, hear now, ye rebels, must we fetch you water out of this rock? And Moses lifted up his hand, and with his rod he smote the rock twice, and the water came out abundantly, and
So God still worked the miracle and brought a spring out of this rock. This is the second time it happened. The first time, he smote the rock once with the rod. The second time, this time, God said, just speak to the rock. Little did they know at that time that the rock was representative of Jesus Christ, because we find that in 1 Corinthians 10, right? The rock that followed them was Christ. And Jesus gives us the water of life. Amen? So all of that was to point forward and be pictures of Jesus, which is why God said, this time, just speak to it. Don't smite it. Because how many times does Jesus have to be smitten for our sins? Once. Amen? He doesn't get smitten continuously. Moses lost his temper. Now, other times, Moses fell on his face and he prayed for God's people when God threatened to destroy them. But this time, he lost his temper with them and he smote the rock twice. And it was this one incident that led to Moses not being allowed to lead the people into the promised land. So that's a big deal, wasn't it? That he lost his temper, he broke the picture of Jesus, and therefore was not allowed to go into the promised land. Joshua took them in, not Moses. So here we have an example of a godly man losing his temper, and he sinned. He got angry and he sinned. God still gave him the water, praise God, but Moses lost his temper and sinned. So, number one, don't lose our temper. We're going to talk later about the ruled spirit, having temperance, but losing our temper is not the answer. Flying off the handle, as some people call it. There's a lot of other words for it, right? Throwing your toys out of the cot, and we could go on and on. We've all been there. So when we get angry, and things are going to make us angry, it's an emotion, the first thing not to do is to fly off the handle, lose your temper, because now you're going to sin. You're going to sin against the people that you lose your temper toward. The second non-biblical response is to retaliate. Now, a lot of times when people make us angry, we immediately, the flesh wants to fight back, doesn't it? It's been that way since we were children, right? He punched me first, so I punched him back. But we're Christians now, amen? And we're told we're never allowed to retaliate. We're never allowed to render evil for evil. So Romans 12, 19 and 21 is a very good passage. Nathan, if you could read that for us. This is when Christianity becomes real, isn't it? Because the flesh wants to do one thing, but we're now children of God. We have the Spirit of God indwelling us. We're to do the opposite of what the flesh wants to do, which is to hit back or to retaliate in any way. God says it's never allowed to render evil for evil. It's never allowed to fight back. Instead, we overcome evil with good. We just be like Jesus Christ, who never fought back, never argued, never retaliated. He was like a lamb, the Bible says, to the slaughter. He trusted the Lord. So we're never to retaliate. 1 Thessalonians 5:15 says, "See that none render evil for evil unto any man." That would include the unsaved, would it not? So it's not that God says, well, you can't retaliate if it's a Christian, but it's okay if it's a non-Christian. He doesn't even say that. He says any man. That we're never allowed to retaliate when someone angers us. We're never allowed to fight back. We're never allowed to hit back with our tongue or with our actions. It's just not allowed, because again, then we're just going to have to make things right, because now we've sinned against someone by retaliating. And if we do that, now God's going to have to deal with us if we don't make it right. So definitely we don't lose our temper. We don't retaliate. Thoughts or questions before we go to the biblical choices? Anybody? Yes, Isaiah.
Is there any description for like self-defense situation?
Self-defense. Was that your question?
Yeah, not
oh, that's an age-old ethical question among Christians, isn't it? It's not in the Bible. How's that? And I know, you know, we hear a lot from America about self-defense and protecting your family and all that. It's not in the Bible. Matter of fact, what did Jesus say if someone smites you on the cheek? Does it say smite them back? What's it say?
Turn the other cheek, I say.
Good, Jan. Turn the other cheek. It all comes down to believing that God is in control. Amen? Trusting the Lord. But that's not what our flesh wants, is it? Our flesh wants to, again, self-defense is essentially hitting back. David?
Is the Lord saying that we should be cheeky?
Cheeky?
Yes.
I guess it depends on your definition of cheeky, brother. you're being cheeky right now, of course, but but we definitely are not given permission to ever retaliate. Amen? Now let's talk about the biblical choices. Now, this, you know, honestly, when you think about these nine things that we've talked about, most of them are, from a pastoral point of view, counseling situations. People come to pastors and say, I'm having trouble losing my temper. I'm having trouble with temptation or whatever. That's kind of where these nine things came from. This is a very common one where people come and say, I just can't control my temper. I can't help myself. I fly off the handle and I swear and whatever. So, cool down. Number one, cool down. What do you think that means? Yeah, Brent?
Give yourself some time, just have a buffer of time, just to ease, maybe count to 10. Or
exactly. And that is always, from a pastoral point of view, the number one piece of advice. Well, not number one, but it's the first piece of advice. Take 10 seconds. Breathe a couple times before you lose your temper, before you fly off the handle, before you fight back. Just cool down. And if you just take a few seconds and cool down, you'll find out it's not as bad as you thought it was. And you might have just prevented yourself from sinning in a way that is going to hurt someone else. And it's actually in the Scriptures. So let's look at it together. James chapter 1, 19 and 20. Brad, could you read that for us?
Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. For the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God.
Slow to wrath. Quick to hear, amen? Slow to wrath. So that's telling us to cool down. There's an example in the book of Nehemiah here, chapter 5. Now, Nehemiah had a lot of challenges. I don't know if you know the story that well, but he was sent by God to rebuild the walls of Jerusalem. The temple had already been mostly rebuilt by Ezra, but then Nehemiah was sent because the city was pretty much undefendable without a wall, which had been broken down by the many enemies. So he was sent back by God to rebuild the wall. And there, by now, there's already all these Gentiles, there's already all these Jews that are now aligned with Gentiles, and he just had enemies inside, outside, constant resistance to his project. And in one particular instance, he got angry. Nehemiah chapter 5, verse 6. And I was very angry, he said, when I heard their cry and these words. And what did he do? Verse 7. Then I consulted with myself. In other words, I took a moment before I did something rash. I consulted myself and rebuked the nobles and the rulers. And then he did the right thing. He told them that what they were doing wasn't scriptural. It was against God's word. But he initially wanted to punch someone. And he consulted with himself. He cooled down first before he lost it, if you will. Proverbs 19:11. Brandon, could you read that for us? See that word deferreth? You know, when you defer something, what do? You push it forward a little bit, right? It says the discretion, someone who has some discretion, he deferreth it. Rather than responding instantly, he defers his anger. He cools down first. And we already read Ephesians 4:26, be angry and sin not. In other words, you can't control the fact that you got anger. That is an emotion. But what now? Don't sin. Stop. And contemplate your next move before you make it. Amen? Take the 10 seconds. Consult with the Lord and yourself and say, okay, I need to cool down here before I do something rash or stupid and get myself into more trouble. Proverbs 18:13. He that answereth a matter before he heareth it, it is folly and shame unto him. In other words, you know how sometimes you're in an argument with someone and you can't even finish what you're saying before they're talking over you? That's not in the scriptures, is it? We let people say what they want to say before we talk over them. Wait, hear it out. Allow them to say what they're going to say. But don't lose it and start talking over them and start answering it before you hear it. Cool down. And then, of course, 2 Corinthians 10:5, very familiar passage, casting down imaginations, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. This takes discipline, doesn't it, to do these things? But it is worth it to take time to cool down, ask God for help. Now, in counseling situations, not only are people always counseled to take 10 seconds to cool down, but also to memorize scripture, which we've already talked about this, but, you know, every person that has a temper problem, they're sent off to memorize Ephesians 4:26 and 4:27. To be angry and sin not, that not the sun go down upon your wrath, neither give place to the devil. And that Proverbs 25:28, very common one. About ruling your spirit. Sorry, I didn't see your hand, Kelvin.
That Jeremiah scripture, I don't know what, but the last part of the verse said that he set a great assembly against them.
Where are we here?
On Jeremiah.
Yes, it's Nehemiah.
Oh, sorry.
But
oh,
yes.
Yeah, it said that he set a great assembly against them. What do you see that as meaning? Does that mean he set an army against them? What do you mean by assembly?
No, it means that it was kind of like a meeting. And so he had all these people that were with him and helping him build the wall. And so he rebuked them, but then he had the whole assembly also rebuke them and say, what you're doing is wrong. This was one of the situations where the people living in Jerusalem were sinning. So there were situations where they had the outsiders attacking, but they also had internal problems as well with Nehemiah's project. And in this case, these were the nobles and the rulers who had broken God's law during the time that, you know, Jerusalem was under captivity and a mess and so forth. And so he's rebuking them for disobeying God's word. And he got the assembly involved as well. There was no violence there. Good question, though. So, number two, forgive. We've heard this one before, haven't we? Wonder why. Maybe because it's the heart of Christianity, amen. If we didn't have forgiveness, we wouldn't be going to heaven. That's why Christ died, so that we could be forgiven of our sins. And what does God say for us to do in turn? Is to forgive. Isaiah, read that for us if you would. Ephesians 4, 31 and 32. Oh, to have young eyes to be able to see that from way back there. Look at all these things God says that are to be put away. Bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, evil speaking, malice. These all things stem, don't they, from when we get angry. What do? We get bitter. We let our wrath loose. We evil speak, malice. He says, no, none of that should be part of your Christian walk. Instead, be kind, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God. So there's our measure of forgiveness. Even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. How many of our sins has God forgiven us as Christians? Anybody?
All of
us. Amen. Colossians 2:13, all trespasses, which means there's no exceptions. Amen. As he has forgiven us, we're to forgive others. Mr. Scott, Proverbs 19:11, if you would.
The discretion of a man is glory to pass over the transgression, over our transgression.
So we looked at the first part, the discretion of a man deferreth his anger, but look at it. It is his glory to pass over a transgression. What do you think God means by that? To pass over. We've heard that phrase before, haven't we? It means we let it go and we give it to God. Amen? Yes, someone has maybe wronged me or said something that angered me. God says it's his glory to pass over. Rather than to get angry, defer the anger, give it to God, and forgive and pass over. Amen? So God wants us, when we get angry, to cool down, forgive, and make sure that our spirit is ruled, amen, or controlled. Now we looked at this this ruled spirit thing. Oh, oops, see. Now I'll find my way back over here to that button. There we go. One of the verses that we looked at was 25:28, one of my favorites. Where are we here? Yeah, Proverbs 25:28. He that hath no rule over his own spirit is like a city that is broken down and without walls. So God wants our spirit to be ruled or controlled. Amen? If we lose our temper, our spirit is out of control. It's not being ruled, is it? It's let loose. God wants our spirit to be ruled, which is part of being temperate or having self-control in our Christian walk. So Proverbs 16:22, Howard.
Understanding is a wellspring of life unto him that hath it, but the instruction of fools is folly.
I don't think that verse is the right verse. Anyway, Proverbs 25:28. He that hath no rule over his own spirit is like a city that is broken down and without walls. We looked at James 1:19. Let every man be swift to hear, quick to hear, two ears, right? Slow to speak, slow to wrath. Brother Brent?
It was verse 32 of the same proverb.
Oh, yep. 16:32 instead of 22. Can you read it for us?
He that is slow to anger is better than the mighty, and he that ruleth his spirit than he that taketh a city.
Oh, thank you. That sounds a lot more like what it should have been. So, sorry, wrong reference. 16:32, not 16:22 if you're taking notes. Can you read it again for us, Brent? Very good verse.
He that is slow to anger is better than the mighty, and he that ruleth his spirit than he that taketh a city.
Slow to anger, ruling his spirit. You see the connection there? And he says, he that ruleth his spirit is better than he that can take a whole city with his own single sword. You're better off having your spirit under control than being a great warrior. So, what a beautiful truth. God wants our spirit to be under control. And that's why we should memorize scriptures if we have a problem with our temper. We should learn to cool down. And we must always, always forgive. So that is what to do when we're angry, our ninth and final practical Christian living flowchart. Questions, comments on anything? Wave your hand if I'm not seeing it. I hope this has been a blessing. If you missed any of them, they're all on our YouTube channel. And you can go back and review them and see what we went through together. But Lord willing, next week we'll start a new study on 40 character traits God wants every Christian to possess. That'll keep us busy, won't it?